الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Fear of Allah Prayer of Attar O my Lord, whoever reads or listens to this booklet, Fear of Allah, bless them with true fear of you and grant them and their parents and family entry into Jannatul Firdaus without accountability. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Excellence of sending salawat. Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman al-Sakhawi rahmatullahi alayhi narrates, Allah Almighty revealed to Sayyidina Musa Kalimullah alayhi salam, I created 10,000 ears within you through which you heard my speech, and I created 10,000 tongues through which you spoke to me. You will become most beloved to me and nearest to me when you remember me abundantly and frequently. Send salawat upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد Martyred by the sword of the fear of Allah. A pious elder once saw a young boy crying outside a madrasa. When he asked him why he was crying, the boy replied, Our teacher wrote some verses of the Quran on our writing board today and they have made me cry. As he said this, he showed the elder his writing board. Written on it were the verses, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhaakumut takathur, hatta zurtumul maqabir, kalla sawfa ta'lamun, thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun, kalla law ta'lamun ilma al-yaqeen. The desire of amassing wealth has made you heedless. Until you see the graves, you will certainly soon come to know. Then, certainly, you will soon come to know. Of course, had you known with certain knowledge, you would not have loved wealth. The child continued weeping. Seeing his deep emotion, the elder was greatly moved and said, My son, today's lesson is not yet complete. The remaining verses will probably be taught to you tomorrow. He then recited the remaining verses of Surah At-Takathur. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Latarawunna al-jahim. Thumma latarawunnaha 'ayna al-yaqin. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ You will most certainly see hell. Then you will see it with the eye of certainty. Then on that day you will most definitely be questioned about blessings. On hearing the mention of hell, the boy shuddered. He collapsed to the ground, writhed in fear, and shortly thereafter passed away. His teacher rushed over and grabbed the elder. A crowd gathered, and the boy's parents also arrived. The elder was taken to court as though he were responsible for the child's death. When the judge asked him to explain what had happened, he narrated the entire incident. Upon hearing it, the judge declared, "This child was truly fortunate. He was martyred by the sword of the fear of Allah." The elder was then honourably acquitted. May Allah Almighty have mercy upon him and through his blessings grant us all forgiveness without accountability. Themes of Surah Al-Takathur. The central theme of Surah Al-Takathur found in the 30th part of the Holy Quran is the condemnation of living solely for worldly gain whilst neglecting preparation for the hereafter. Its message can be summarized as follows. At the beginning of the surah, Allah Almighty informs us that the desire to accumulate more wealth ever distracts people from preparing for the hereafter. This obsession remained with them until death overtook them. It then explains that those consumed by the desire for worldly wealth will realize its true outcome at the time of death. Had they possessed certain knowledge of its reality, they would never have become attached to wealth. Finally, the surah declares that those who remain preoccupied with worldly possessions will certainly see hell after death. And on the day of judgment, every person will be questioned about the blessings they were given. Whoever weeps will enter paradise. Sayyiduna Jarir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu narrates that the final prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to us, "I am about to recite Surah Al-Takathur to you. Whoever amongst you weeps will enter paradise." The beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam then recited the surah. Some of us wept while others could not. Those who were unable to cry said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we tried to weep but we could not." The beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, "I will recite it again. Whoever weeps will have paradise, and whoever cannot weep should at least adopt the appearance of one who is weeping." Would that we memorize the translation of this blessed surah so that whenever we recite or hear it, Allah Almighty grants us tears out of His fear. This narration also beautifully demonstrates the unique and moving way our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam invited people towards righteousness. It further teaches us that by the bestowal of Allah Almighty, our Master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam grants whatever He wills to whomever He wills. That is why He declared, "Whoever weeps will enter paradise." The reward of reciting 1,000 verses. O lovers of the Messenger, the one who recites Surah Al-Takathur receives the reward of reciting 1,000 verses. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma narrates that the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Is any one of you incapable of reciting 1,000 verses every day?" The noble companions radiyallahu anhum asked, "Who has the ability to do that?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, "Is any one of you unable to recite Al-Hakumut Takathur?" Meaning, reciting this surah carries the reward of reciting 1,000 verses. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi, whilst explaining this hadith, writes, "Reciting this surah earns the reward of reciting and acting upon 1,000 verses. The Holy Quran contains approximately 6,666 verses. If the fractional amount is disregarded, there remain 6,000 verses, and the objectives of the Quran can be divided into 6 major themes. One of these is awareness of the hereafter, which is fully contained within Surah Al-Takathur. Thus, this surah represents nearly 1/6 of the Quran in terms of its objective. Reflecting upon it creates detachment from the world and attachment to the hereafter, causing the soul to turn away from sins and becoming inclined towards righteous deeds. The wealth of the son of Adam. Sayyiduna Mutarraf radiallahu anhu narrates from his father, I once came into the blessed presence of the noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam whilst he was reciting Al-Hakum al-Takathur. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam then said, the son of Adam says, my wealth, my wealth. O son of Adam, your wealth is only that which you consumed and exhausted, wore until it became worn out, or gave in charity and sent ahead for yourself. Five questions on the Day of Judgment. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, on the Day of Judgment, a person will not move from their place until they have answered these five questions. Number one, how did you spend your life? Number two, how did you spend your youth? Number three, how did you earn your wealth? Number four, where did you spend it? And number five, and how much did you act upon the knowledge you had? This is truly a frightening reality. Today, many people are heedless about how they are spending their lives. Young or old, countless people live as though death is still far away. Even the elderly often remain unaware that there is no second chance ahead. Death is the next certainty. Young people should also reflect, for they will be questioned about how they spent their youth. Likewise, people strive passionately to earn wealth, but often fail to consider whether it is earned through halal or haram means. The mindset becomes, if someone is willing to pay, just take it. And so they gather as much wealth as possible. Yet the reality is that the more wealth a person possesses, the greater the accountability that comes with it. Consider a traveller. The one carrying the most luggage is usually the one facing the greatest difficulty. Anyone who has travelled internationally by plane knows how those with excessive baggage spend more time and face more hassle at customs. In the same way, the lighter a person's load of worldly possessions, the easier their accountability will be in the hereafter. The meaning of a heavy burden. Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that the beloved messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once took Sayyiduna Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu by the hand and said, O Abu Dhar, do you know that a very difficult mountain pass lies ahead of us? Only those carrying light burdens will be able to cross it. A man then asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, am I amongst those with a heavy burden or a light burden? The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked, do you have today's food? He replied, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked, do you have tomorrow's food? He replied, yes. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam then asked, do you have food for the day after tomorrow? He replied, no. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, if you had food for 3 days, you would have been amongst those carrying a heavy burden. Today, the issue is not merely storing food for 3 days. Out of greed, our refrigerators remain packed with all kinds of food, and our homes are filled with things we have no real need for. Alas, what will become of us who are consumed by greed? The burden of excessive wealth, the burden of constantly wanting more, the burden of owning multiple shops and businesses, and even worse, the burden of sins, the burden of interest and bribery, the burden of fraud and deception, the burden of unlawfully consuming the wealth of others. How tragic! Our shoulders now carry burden upon burden. With such a load, how will we ever cross the bridge of Sirat? Even in this world, the more wealth a person possesses, the greater their burden. The wealthier someone becomes, the greater their fear of thieves, robbers, and criminals. They may even become targets of extortion and threats such as, "Pay us or we will kidnap your child or harm you." So wealth itself can become a trial even in this life. A poor person may sleep peacefully on a sidewalk, whilst a wealthy person lies awake inside a locked home, constantly fearing that something might happen. This world is a place of reflection, not a place to attach our hearts to. Oh, lovers of the Messenger, before the announcement is made, so and so has passed away, call the one who will perform the ghusl. Before the washing begins, before the shroud is wrapped around us, before we are lowered into the darkness of the grave. And all of this could happen today, or perhaps tomorrow. Remember that death is certain. There is no escape from it. May Allah Almighty grant us the ability to wake up before death reaches us, to repent sincerely without delay, and to occupy ourselves with deeds that earn His pleasure, to increase the fear of Allah in our hearts, protect our faith, rid ourselves of sinful habits, become steadfast upon the Sunnah, fill our hearts with the love of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and attain the honour of being his neighbour in Jannatul Firdaus. Remain connected to the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Travel every month for at least 3 days with the lovers of the Messenger in a sunnah-inspired qafila, and evaluate yourself daily through the Pious Deeds booklet, submitting it to your responsible Islamic brother at the beginning of every month. If Allah Almighty wills, this will develop within us the mindset of preparing for the grave and the hereafter. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. He did not even have one dirham. Sayyiduna Aun ibn Muammar rahmatullahi alayhi narrates, one day Sayyiduna Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi said to his noble wife Fatima, "If you have one dirham, give it to me. Today I feel like eating some grapes." She replied, "I do not have even a single dirham. Are you not the Amirul Mu'mineen? Do you not even possess one dirham?" In great concern, he replied, "Going without grapes is far easier than wearing the chains of hell tomorrow. May Allah Almighty have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake." Dear Islamic brothers, what remarkable fear of Allah Sayyiduna Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi possessed. Grapes are undoubtedly halal and pure, yet they are amongst the blessings of Allah Almighty, and every blessing will be accounted for on the Day of Judgment. Out of fear of the hereafter, he refrained from eating them. Alas, today we enjoy one luxury after another and constantly search for something even better. Even the finest homes no longer satisfy us, and we continue striving for bigger houses and grander villas. Dear Islamic brothers, whilst the other verses of Surah Al-Takathur shake the heedless person and awaken them from their sleep of negligence, its final verse leaves those restless who fear Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty says, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then on that day, you will most definitely be questioned about blessings. Three explanations of this blessed verse. Number one, Sayyiduna Ikrimah radiyallahu anhu said, when this blessed verse was revealed, the noble companions radiyallahu anhum asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which blessings do we possess? We only have barley bread, and even that is only enough to fill half our stomachs. Revelation then came, do you not wear shoes? Do you not drink cool water? These two are blessings. Number two, Sayyiduna Ali al-Murtada radiyallahu anhu explained this verse by saying, whoever ate wheat bread, drank the cool waters of the Euphrates, and had a home to live in, these are amongst the blessings about which they will be questioned. Number three, the eminent Tabi'i Sayyiduna Imam Mujahid rahmatullahi alayhi said, this verse refers to every worldly enjoyment and delight. Whilst explaining the final verse of Surah Al-Takathur, Sadrullah Fazil Allama Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes, you will be questioned about the blessings Allah Almighty granted you, such as health, ease, safety, comfort, wealth, and other worldly enjoyments. You will be asked how you use them and how you express gratitude for them. Failure to show gratitude will result in punishment. Two types of blessings and the questions of the hereafter. Whilst explaining the final verse of Surah Al-Takathur, the renowned commentator Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh further writes, blessings acquired through one's own effort, i.e. kasbi blessings, which include sweets, delicious food, cold drinks, fine clothing, wealth, authority, and similar worldly possessions, three questions will be asked regarding them. Number one, where did you acquire them from? Number two, where did you spend them? Number three, how did you thank Allah Almighty for them? Blessings granted directly by Allah, i.e. Wahhabi blessings, these are blessings in which a person's own effort plays no part, such as the sun, the moon, hands, feet, eyes, ears, and similar gifts. Two questions will be asked regarding them. Number one, how did you use them? Number two, how did you thank Allah Almighty for them? Ah, the finest foods. Dear Islamic brothers, this is truly something to fear. Today, we have become obsessed with enjoying the finest foods and the greatest luxuries. Yet, we forget that one day we will become food for the worms in our graves and stand accountable in the hereafter. We always want the very best and the most delicious meals, and they must be served hot. Fine food itself is a blessing, and having it served hot is a blessing upon a blessing. Even plain tea is no longer enough. It must be milk tea, sweetened and served piping hot. In this way, even a single cup of tea becomes a collection of countless blessings. Likewise, ഹൽവ പൂരി, പീസ, സ്റ്റഫ് പറാത്തസ്, ഓൾ കൈൻഡ്സ് ഓഫ് സ്വീറ്റ്സ്, ഫ്രഷ് ഫ്രൂട്ട്സ്, ഡ്രൈ ഫ്രൂട്ട്സ്, ഡിലിഷ്യസ് ഫലൂദ, കോൾഡ് സ്വീറ്റ് ഡ്രിങ്ക്സ്, almond and pistachio sheer khurma, soft drinks, ice cream, butter, cream, custard, kebabs, samosas, hot pakoras, fried fish, fried chops, tandoori leg, chicken tikka, Sikh kebabs, burgers, and who knows what else. Our materialistic nafs continues to crave and consume. Although all of these foods are halal, every one of these blessings and every other blessing will be questioned on the Day of Judgment. Would that our food-loving nafs came under control. Would that we were freed from the habit of eating and drinking merrily for entertainment and worldly pleasure. Those who love wealth should reflect to understand the tremendous danger we accept for a few moments of pleasure. Consider this narration. In the 504-page publication, Minaj al-Abideen, published by Maktabatul Madina, The Proof of Islam, Imam Abu Hamid Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi writes, it has been narrated that the severity of the agonies of death is proportional to the worldly pleasures a person enjoyed. Therefore, the greater the pleasures they indulged in, the more severe the pain of death will be. A glimpse of the agonies of death. Allama Jalaluddin As-Suyuti As-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi narrates, death is more terrifying than all the horrors of this world and the hereafter. It is more painful than being cut by saws, sliced by scissors, or boiled in cauldrons. If the dead were brought back to life and described the agonies of death, people would lose all enjoyment and all sleep. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Nine frightening sayings of the beloved Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam about accountability for blessings. To increase our determination to avoid temporary worldly pleasures and to remind ourselves of the accountability for Allah's blessings. Reflect upon these nine blessed sayings of the beloved Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Number one, on the Day of Judgment, Allah Almighty will call one of His servants before Him and question them about their status and position, just as He will question them about their wealth. Number two, every single step a person takes will be questioned on the Day of Judgment. They will be asked why they took that step. Number three, the first question asked of a servant will include, did I not keep your body healthy? Did I not quench your thirst with cool water? In other words, did you fulfill the rights of these blessings? Number four, a master and servant and a husband and wife will be brought forth and held accountable. A man will be told, on such and such a day, you drank cool water with pleasure. A husband will be told, many others wish to marry this woman, yet I chose you for her. Did you fulfill the rights of these blessings? Number five, a believer will be questioned about every deed, even about applying coal to their eyes. Number six, a person who delivers sermons or speeches will also be asked, what was your intention behind your speech? Those who deliver bayans and speeches should reflect. Was the intention sincere to invite people towards righteousness? Or was it praise, recognition, fame, or worldly gain? Number 7. Whoever calls others towards something will be resurrected alongside that invitation, even if they invited only one person. This highlights the importance of sincerity. Those engaged in individual efforts to invite others to Islam should also reflect on their intentions. Number 8. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "By the one in whose hand is my soul, amongst the blessings about which you will be questioned are cool shade, fine dates, and cool water." Number 9. On the day of judgment, every rich and poor person alike will wish that in this world they had possessed nothing more than the bare minimum needed to survive. 3 sayings of the pious predecessors about accountability for blessings. Number 1. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umayr rahmatullahi alayhi said, "The more wealth a person possesses, the greater their accountability will be." Number 2. Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu said, "On the day of judgment, the person who owned 2 dirhams will face a more difficult accountability than the one who owned only 1. Number 3. The eminent Tabi, Sayyidina Muawiyah ibn Qurra rahmatullahi alayhi said, "On the day of judgment, the most difficult accountability will be for the healthy person who lived a life of ease and comfort." Sadqa pyare ki haya ka ke na le mujhse hisab, baksh be puche na jaye ko na jana kya hai. Meanings of difficult words. Sadqa, means or mediation, i.e. vasila. Be puche, without being questioned, without accountability. Lajai, one who is already ashamed. Lajana, to disgrace or embarrass. Explanation of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan's couplet. In this couplet, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi humbly supplicates before Allah Almighty, "O Allah Almighty, I ask you by the modesty and honor of your beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, please forgive me without taking me to account on the day of judgment. I am already ashamed of my sins, so do not further disgrace me by calling me to account." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. 12 years of accountability. Dear Islamic brothers, the accountability of the hereafter is an extremely serious matter. Listen to this moving narration and reflect deeply. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma narrates, after the passing of the organizer of this ummah, the one filled with fear and awe of Allah, the leader of the people of paradise, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiyallahu anhu, I longed to know what had happened to him in the hereafter. One day, I saw a magnificent palace in a dream and asked, "Whose palace is this?" An angel replied, "It belongs to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu." Just then, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu emerged from the palace wearing only a sheet, as though he had just completed ghusl. I asked, "How did Allah Almighty deal with you?" He replied, "He dealt with me graciously." He then asked me, "How long has it been since I left you?" I replied, 12 years. He then said, only now have I finished my accountability. May Allah Almighty have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.